Thanks to Larry and David for inviting me and us to be here. This is such an exciting exchange. My own background, my dad was a mechanical engineer. I was briefly a chemical engineer, ended up with a physics education to teach high school physics in my bachelor's program. Did campus ministry for a number of years, went to grad school, got a master's in biblical studies, so I had to learn Hebrew and Greek, and then a PhD in philosophical theology and ethics. All to say that the one part that I thought maybe would be a blot on my resume was all those years in campus ministry. When I applied for the job at the University of Dayton, they looked at that and said, "Oh, so you taught, or so you did campus ministry at Michigan Tech? Yeah, I worked with engineers. Ah, would you like to teach engineering ethics? Because you can obviously talk to engineers." So that was the thing that actually got me the job, which is kind of interesting. University of Dayton is a Catholic and Marianist institution. And Marianist is quite different than Jesuit. That doesn't matter for my presentation. But it does matter because every time we think about a new program, you have to take the context of your, the identity of your institution to consideration. So I want to just say three things. One, I want to talk about a point of contact for these conversations. Secondly, a word of caution. And third, a suggestion that somebody develop this module, and I'll tell you in a minute. I'm from, as I said, Dayton, Ohio. These are the famous guys in Dayton, Ohio, the Wright brothers. I'll tell you why their picture's up in just a minute. I was hired, my second day of teaching was 9/11, and I limped along as best as I could, learning a whole new field, engineering ethics, for several years. And then in 2005, somebody showed up with a pot of money. This was Father Jim Heft, who has a PhD in, I can't remember what his PhD is, he's at USC now. And his pot of money said, "I will buy out one of your courses and pay you for 2 years if you come and take a faculty seminar with five humanities and five engineers." It's like, wait a minute, did I hear you right? You're going to pay me to do that? Okay, sure. So we did this, and the title of the investigation or the seminar was called "The Role of Engineering at Catholic Universities." Okay. We produced a conference. That's where I met Billy Von Cohen. Some of you are familiar with Billy. And John Stoudemire, who does history at Detroit Mercy, produced a short book of essays. But the interesting thing that happened was the friendship that I formed with a mechanical engineer named Drew Murray. We noticed very early on a strong similarity between our two fields. I was pretty much an Aristotelian in the way that I approached ethics. And if you know anything about Aristotle, he's in favor of practical reasoning over theoretical reasoning. So the practical reasoning argument would go something like this, that there is no single right answer in ethics, though there may be entirely wrong answers, but within the range of roughly acceptable responses, each proposed response must be evaluated for its relative satisfactoriness. And Drew Murray said to me, "That's what we call design. There's no single correct design. There may be entirely wrong designs, but within the range of roughly acceptable responses, each proposed response must be evaluated for its relative satisfactoriness." So on that commonality, we built a course called Ethics by Design. It was funded for a couple years, and as you can figure out, you can't have two teachers forever teaching one course, especially if the course only has 20 students or less, and so we lost our funding. But the idea was this, that we would form, we'd take 16 to 20 students that we pre-screened, they had to be half of them humanities, half engineering, that was the whole point, and put them, form dummy corporations with teams of four. The dummy corporation idea means that they were to compete doing design work just through the conceptual stage, no engineering calculation. This is our plan, but to enable liberal arts and engineers to figure out how to do conceptual design together. The dummy corporation meant that only with the 10 RFPs that we gave the students to work through in the course of the term, there was only one winner per RFP, and they were given monopoly money, but the monopoly money affected their grade. So this is real world stuff, and they were cutthroat, and this was very interesting place to teach ethics, to watch this unfold as though they were real design firms. Made worse by the fact that we brought in outside judges. Drew and I were not the judges. We brought in people that from the community, from all sorts of professional engineers. We brought in moms. And, of course, that means that the panel of judges could be wrong. And they were, in one case, terribly wrong. Nevertheless, the money's awarded according to the panel. This is the real world, right? Okay. So I think that in my field, that was the key. My field is ethics, and I think there may be other keys, but that's the point of contact that I take. So that's my point of contact. Word of caution. Integrity, we talked about yesterday the integrity of trying to maintain the integrity of the two fields, engineering, which is a no-brainer for you all because you are engineers, but maintaining the integrity of the humanities and liberal arts. And I wanted to say that liberal arts does not only have a style or a method or approach to stuff. There's also content. So it would be false to assume that a liberal studies and engineering program could simply import a perspective or a method or a way of seeing and lay that over some sort of neutral stuff. That said, I think there's another way to potentially think about how to get the two to talk, and the concept is cross-domain transfer. Cross-domain transfer, some people think it happens rarely, some people think it happens more frequently than we're willing to admit. But cross-domain transfer is basically this, that an idea, a breakthrough notion in engineering design comes from some other field than engineering, something entirely different. Could be music, could be aesthetics, it could be, who knows. Wright Brothers are the classic example. Most of you are aware of the story of how the Wright Brothers, the two problems. One is power to weight ratio of engines, but also the problem they worked on most was the stability in steering the devices, right? Most of the people were approaching the problem of steering airplanes as you would approach it in steering an automobile, namely you steer a car in two dimensions. But planes, as we know now, we steer in three dimensions. This was not like a block in their reasoning process because the Wright brothers were bicyclists. They ran a bike shop, they repaired bike shops, and if you know anything about racing bicycles or riding at speed, you steer in three dimensions, right? You lean into the turn, but if you also notice the guy has shifted his hips in the saddle and has his knee sticking out, that causes the weight to change. And of course, it's really severe the heavier the machine. Got it. So the Wright brothers, if you've ever looked carefully at their patent, they steer with their hips. Right. If you look at their steering mechanism, there's a saddle that fits around their hips, and they instinctively use their hips to steer their craft. That's their breakthrough. Now, that's maybe a breakthrough in method. They had a tacit skill from bicycling that enabled them to learn this breakthrough. My point is that I'm a theologian, a philosophical ethicist, and my work with Drew Murray, shameless plug, resulted in this book called By Design, where cross-domain transfer is utilized, where I look at the content of theology and say that there may be insights for breakthrough in design from that. This is Larry's copy. You can look at it afterwards if you like. The third, I'm sorry?
Someone bought a copy.
Yes. I'm giving it to him. So I've yet to see a doubt. No, just kidding. The last thing I wanted to say, I have, I think, a minute left, and that is a possible module. I look at college students that graduate from the University of Dayton, and in particular engineers that I work with, and I realize not a single one knows how manufacturing happens. That is not part of the college curriculum. And I think that's really a shame. that our students will graduate, whether they're engineers or not. Okay, so some will actually go on and do manufacturing, but they don't graduate unless they had a co-op. Our students need to know this because they vote with their dollars, they buy stuff, and they also vote with their voting machines when they become adults and bother to vote. That seems to me we should think about a module of crossover on the role of manufacturing in society. I taught an honors course in which I gave the smartphone, the manufacturing of a smartphone was their topic, and teams of students had to go out and figure out what's wrong with it, what's wrong with manufacturing, like conflict minerals, like slave labor, like the high energy use in producing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And one of my honors students, who was clueless about that, I mean, she's really, really smart, pre-med, all that stuff, and she says to me, she said, yeah, I started naming my folder the depressing folder for this project. But this is stuff that we need to work on. Okay, thank you.